No.
Hey, like a distraction schedule already planned for this weekend?
Not really. Nah, I don't. It's kind of business as usual.
What's business as usual? It typically means a little bit of work and a little bit of...
Yeah, I try to like just... Yeah, over the last handful of years, for sure, when we've had an opportunity to win, just try to stay as loose as I can and have fun. I'm not gonna change, what I do or who I am. I'm just gonna have fun and enjoy it and go out there and win it.
Statistically, you've got the fastest car on 750 track so far this year. Does that give you a lot of confidence going in?
Certainly more than last year, for sure. We were obviously not in the same ballpark last year, but this year certainly feel very, very confident considering our short track performance on those types of tracks.
But Wally said earlier this week JGR feels like the underdog. Do you agree with that?
Well, we haven't won as many races as they have, but it's the championship's decided on this racetrack, not any of the others. It certainly is. Yeah, it's. I'm not sure that anyone's really going to be working as teammates, I guess. But it certainly is. Two of the most successful organizations of the season, with two representatives. So certainly, it's going to be a battle amongst who can bring a fast race car.
How can your teammates that aren't in the championship? Not, there's only so much they can do, right? In terms of helping you guys, or where do you lean on?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, honestly, they're not the guys that aren't in the final four and your teammates, they're not fast enough to help you that much. Short of like restarts and lane choosing, stuff like that, there's not much you can do.
Denny, what's the respect level between the four of you, between these championship four drivers?
I mean, I got a huge amount of respect for all of them. I think that they've all accomplished a lot in their careers, and they all had their own special. What's the word I'm looking for? They've got their own special techniques and specialties that they're really, really good at. And they all bring an equally big challenge for any team that thinks that they're going to go out there and just beat them.
How would you handicap the other three?
It's, they're all going to be fast. They're all... the HMS guys have got, pit crews have been really, really fast this year. JGR has been really good on the shorter tracks. So it's just, it all kind of wades out to like however the race plays out. I think that's going to be the bigger factor in who decides it. Is this going to come down to a green, white, checkered finish, or is it going to come down to a long run at the end?
Denny, do you think at the end of the day, practice and qualifying will end up playing a role of somewhat in the race?
Maybe a little bit, but these teams are so dialed. I honestly believe that no practice in qualifying is better for us. I think that our process works, and it works really well. We usually hit the balance pretty close right off the truck. So I think that our goals in practice in particular is just making sure we've checked out all the other things that we need to make sure we've got in line for the race. I don't know that it's going to be necessarily that we're going to wholesale our car. Or panic based off of, times. We know we're gonna, do the best job we can, dial the car in, and go race what we brought. I mean, it's just you're not gonna change that much, in my opinion, in practice.
Last week you said you feel like it might be like a disservice if anyone other than you or Larson won this year. So.
And then finish the rest.
I don't.
The rest of the quote. Yeah, that's the problem, right? Is you take just little clips and then said all four would be very deserving to win the championship.
So, but like, if you lost to Larson, would that ease the, I guess, pain of losing out on it if it's to him instead of the other two?
I mean, I certainly feel like we've been 1-1A or 1-1B for the whole course of the year. Consistently, we're the guys that are up front every week. We really don't have a lot of bad weeks, between the two of us. what I was speaking to is that this format can knock out someone and not even have a chance to make it to the Final Four. That would be a disservice, is that if myself or Larson wasn't in the Final Four, it certainly would be a disservice to not have a shot at a championship given the years that we've had. But I certainly think that the champion that goes out there today or on Sunday that goes out there and wins the race certainly is deserving, you know, because that's the format we run at. It's a one race, and your season will be, you know, our four seasons will be decided in a championship off of what happens for 300 laps.
As a follow-up to Jim's question, given the importance of track position here and controlling the race, how much emphasis will you put on qualifying?
Not much for us. We won't really pay much attention to it.
Do you know if Chris is bringing what car he's bringing? Is it a new one? Or?
No idea, honestly. Yeah, I don't have any idea, but I'm sure he's put all the effort he can into it.
How do you get over something like Sunday? I mean, you were not only, you know, the race didn't go the way you want, but then you're in the middle of this swirl of just talk and controversy and booze, and then you have to go focus on a championship. How do you move from one thing to another?
I mean, how do I get up every morning and take my kids to school at 7:30? How do I go to 2311 and work for a couple days in the middle of the week during a playoff run? I live in chaos. My life is chaos, and I thrive under chaos. I mean, honestly, you probably can ask Kyle. The more shit is stirred up around me, the more I come at it. So I don't mind things like that.
So you don't run from it, you embrace it in a way?
Absolutely. I mean, to me, it's fuel. Like, I have so much fuel in my tank right now from just motivation. Like, you know, it's there's a lot of motivation there. Yeah, I mean, a little bit of it for sure, but I mean, I really wanted to make a pretty strong statement at Martinsville, starting in the back, going back to the back again, and driving all the way to the front, and winning that race would be like, you know, the old foot on the throat heading into this weekend, right? And I feel like that momentum was taken from us. So, but again, the momentum then in my head swings back around into now I'm ultra motivated because, you know, I love the feeling of like just proving people wrong.
Does fan popularity, I guess, matter to you?
No, because it doesn't correlate to common sense. You know, honestly, you know, we were the guys that were crashed, and yeah, we were booed. I'm confused what's going on. It's just, you know, obviously people were passionate about, you know, their driver, which that's okay. But honestly, it doesn't make any sense in the grand scheme of like what's actually going on. You know, it's just, you know, bitter fans from half a decade ago. They just cannot get over it. Yet they can't see what's, you know. There was controversy a few weeks ago, right? And eventually one of the drivers just said, I've had enough. I'm done taking your shit, and I'm going to crash you. And I think that needs to probably happen a little bit more often to get some respect back. And, you know, obviously NASCAR is not going to police this stuff. This is stuff that, you know, is certainly, you know, fuels, you know, popularity. And so the drivers have to get back to self-policing, I think. And so that probably is going to have to come through the hard way.
After Bowman jacked you up the first time and got by you, were you surprised he gave you?
He didn't give me the spot back. That was incorrect.
Was
I got it back. Yeah.
He thinks he did.
He didn't. He knew it was coming. And he moved up the track, and I, instead of running into him, I just went to the inside of him and passed him.
Going back to earlier in your career, I'm sure when a driver comes into the series, if you're going to get booed or something, a lot of younger drivers are like, oh gosh.
You'd rather be booed than ignored. The moment you're ignored, it's bad news. You're on your way out.
But you have to get to a point in your career where you're comfortable enough with that to accept that, right? I mean,
yeah, because, you know, what happens is new fans come in, And when they hear like an overwhelming, like Kyle was overwhelmingly booed for a while. And then all of a sudden people said, well, why is he booed? Well, he's just, you know, he says stuff. And then people were like, well, I like that. And then, you know, you start to see a change and a transition of like, people are like, well, I'm not just going to follow the herd. Like, let me try to be original here and like what I like. And so I think, you know, I can tell you from like an engagement standpoint, like there's a boost. So it's, you know, they're actually doing me a favor more than anything.
Do you see like Instagram, Twitter numbers, like after something like Sunday, like you can tell? Like,
it's huge. Yeah. It's huge. You know, it's of course not all positive, but again, when people, you know, NASCAR fans in general, you know, are a lot of them are bandwagon fans. And so, you know, they'll just latch on to whoever, you know, they used to like, and well, you know, they're related, so let me jump on this bandwagon or whatever. It's not really on race results as much or direct incidents. It's just kind of a let's follow the herd. But I think, you know, as our sport changes over time, you're going to have fans that rebel against the herd and start to follow someone that they actually can relate to.
When did you notice the biggest uptick in response to you, either positive or negative?
I mean, the negative was 2017. I mean, certainly me and Chase were battling for a spot inside the top in the final four, and I crashed them and took responsibility for crashing them, which they forget. And then, you know, they forget anything that he's ever did after. And it's all about whoever does something bad to him. So it's just, again, it's not his fault. I mean, he doesn't ask for it. Dale Jr. didn't ask for the popularity that he had back in the day, but you know, they both handle it really, really well. I mean, that's a big, you know, weight to put on your shoulders to have, you know, most of the NASCAR community, rooting for you, 'cause you're always wanting to try to, make them proud. But again, it's, you know, that to me, that's the turning point. As soon as you, you know, do something negative towards, you know, someone who's very popular, you will forever, you know, have that kind of badge on your uniform.
Kenny, back to the self-policing stuff. I've been doing this long enough to remember where they used to give out penalties for rough driving and stuff like that. Have you all but just abandoned the idea that they're going to basically?
Yeah, that, I mean, it doesn't exist. I mean, yeah, it, you know, there's no rough driving penalties anymore. I mean, we had one under caution and whatnot, I think, for one of the guys.
But it seems to be always for somebody who retaliates.
Yeah. It's certainly, you know, the racing stuff, I think that they just kind of, and they'll say that it's up to the drivers to police it. So, you know, my question is, okay, if you want us to police it, how far do you want me to go? Because, you know, I know how far I want to go. Like, is that going to be okay? So, you know, again, it's up to us to police it. Kevin Harvick policed it. And so people might not like it, but that was a guy that had enough.
So if you win Sunday, get out of the car, what's the reaction going to be?
I'm not sure. I'll be so happy for myself and my team, I really won't care. I mean, I really won't. It's, you know, because I know how hard we worked to get here, how hard I worked, all the sacrifices that my family has made to get me to this point. So I'm going to try to find my family as soon as possible and give them a hug.
So are you motivated? What you said earlier, are you motivated that if you win, it's going to piss a lot of people off? I mean, is that part of the fuel for you?
Yeah. I mean, certainly, you know, everyone's go-to is you haven't won a championship, because there's nothing else they can say. There's just nothing else they can say. So to me, it's like, I'm so motivated to, go out there and show them what's up. And so I think that, you know, it's fuel for me. It really is fuel for me. People don't get in my head in a negative way. It's only, I turn it into positives, into motivation. Some people like to go in a hole and hide from it. I do not. I go at it head on, and anyone who's around me knows, and a lot of you in the media who've followed my career, and when things go haywire or shit hits the fan, I usually come out swinging, and we will come out swinging again.
What do you think gives you and your team the biggest advantage to win this weekend? Like, why do you think you're going to win? What do you think is?
Just knowing how I've performed for the whole year. I mean, that's But the bottom line is that every single week I've showed up, I've had a chance to win. And, you know, there's just not been many years except for the last couple where that's been the case. So I don't see that as being that changing overnight. And so I just think that, you know, certainly I'm a stats and analytics person, but I also have a feel. And when I have a feel and it's, you know, and it's positive, the on-track usually backs that up. It gets confirmed pretty quickly that, you know, we're able to win races or, you know, move on, whatever it might be. My gut is usually correct.
How does this championship week feel different than previous times you've been here?
Yeah, I don't know that it really feels much different other than, you know, I just am more confident in our speed this time around than what we had last year. You know, certainly being ranked 12th last year in speed was not, you know, it was not good. And, you know, we really made all of our wins up on big tracks like Larson did this year. It's just that's where we got the bulk of our wins. And when we looked at the schedule and we said, all right, we've got all these road courses, our 550 tracks, are a lot of them been taken away. Where are we going to get back this big win total? Well, we need to win on road courses. We need to win on the short tracks. Where does the championship run through? Like, then we start to shift our focus into what we need to do to win. And I think that this year our focus has always been on this particular weekend. So I'm more confident based off of that and our recent performance on these tracks.
When you say that you use the negative as fuel and come out swinging, is that different from 2010? Do you figure like you've grown a lot both as a driver and a person since then?
Yeah, I mean, certainly I'm more comfortable. I mean, that's not even a question. But, yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable in who I am. Back in 2010, I didn't have, you know, the big race wins that I'd had, you know, had now. I certainly know that I am a championship caliber driver. There's no question in my mind. Circumstances has not always worked out in my favor. Performance hasn't always been good enough. But certainly we are as deserving as any. And so in 2010, I would have said, am I really good enough to do this? I mean, I had a ton of wins in 2010 and I was battling Jimmy. And honestly, you know, things out of my control, you know, took us from locking it up to losing it. And then, you know, I got in my own head and then I messed up. So it's like, you know, I just wasn't as comfortable then as what I am now.
You've broken in two eras of cars now since the start of your career with Car Tomorrow and then the Gen 6. How much different is it now that you own a team and you look towards next year with the next gen car in terms of the way you plan for it?
We don't know what to expect. I mean, it's going to be a bunch of changes. To me, it's going to be like the Car Tomorrow, the bigger car change that we've had in years past. So I think that I don't know how we're going to prepare, but we, you know, I'm trusting the team to really kind of guide the ship in the right direction.
How much of the notebook do you think you'll throw out after this week?
Oh, all of it. Yeah, there won't be much that will correlate from that car to this one. It's just always been that way. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know when it started, but I mean, people that have worked with me for a long time, Rod Moskowitz, Eddie Jarvis, they would just say, like, the crazier, the more distractions, like, the more locked in. I mean, I tore my ACL, go out there and, like, win. Like, it's always just been, you know, that thriving in chaos that I've made my living at. And, like, when things get boring, honestly, is when the performance is, like, mediocre. You know, I don't know why that is, but it's just there's something that I think it's just my competitive fire. And, you know, I when I think about, like, the last dance and the motivation, you know, Jordan always says he had to come up with his own thing. He would come up with a shit-talking statement from a competitor that they didn't say to just motivate him. And, like, I feel the same way. Like, I want that. I want to get pushed. And so I don't know what it is. I can't explain it, but it's I'm wired the same way.
So did you make up any statements for any of these guys?
I didn't. I mean, you know, a lot of it just comes from outside. You know, little quotes here and there, little poster board stuff here and there. But, yeah, it's I just filed away in the bank and figure out how I'm going to use it.
So you and Kyle are friends. Does that make it – and then you've also got your teammates, so two of the three guys you're racing. Are you able to still get the same sort of not motivation, but, like, at that same, like, I hate you level? I have to beat you?
Yeah, not really. I mean – I don't have really any animosity towards anyone in particular. You know, while me and Kyle, you know, have been friends for a very long time off the racetrack, I don't know that necessarily has correlated to any us driving differently on the racetrack. I mean, we haven't really got into any incidents together, but we also race each other really hard. I started racing him very, very hard in the middle of the summer when the regular season points started getting tight. And we weren't fast enough. I got to find a way to slow him down a little bit. And so I don't know how the friendships or the animosity towards any other driver really correlates to on track. If you do have, it's almost like a poker player though. If you are on tilt towards a particular driver, you will make more mistakes around them because you're trying to, sometimes you're trying to keep them from winning more than, you know, then keep, you know, doing what's right for yourself. So I never try to get too on tilt about anyone, good or bad.
Are you at the point that you would, it's last lap, you're in second, would you wreck someone to win a championship?
I wouldn't try to. Certainly wouldn't try to wreck them by any means. But, you know, move someone out of the way, shove them up lane, maybe. But I don't know. I feel like I'm just more of a purist than most. I mean, that's what fires me up so much about, you know, stuff like last week or even, you know, Indy getting, you know, it's like, man, that's, we didn't even have a chance to like, let's battle. Like, let's go toe to toe, two drivers battle for a race win. In today's world, people just accept, you know, getting knocked out of the way. And, like, people accept it now. And, you know, we used to show highlights of the bump and run with Rusty and Jeff Gordon at Bristol. And that used to be a highlight. Now no one gives a shit because it's just part of normal everyday racing. Mm-hmm. You know, the craft of actually being good at technique and passing and working someone over, like, that craft has kind of just gone away. And it's not for good or bad. It's, you know, everyone can race their own particular way, but it's just a different, certainly, mentality when you look at, you know, what's coming from the Truck Series on up to Xfinity, and now it's making its way all the way to Cup, is it's just a different mentality.
So as you said, it's a little bit of a shit show in Trucks and Xfinity. Do you feel that these four are clean? There's no concern?
Yes. Yeah. These certainly. Well, I'd say I'd have no problem any one of them behind me on the last lap. I would have no issue with any of them being behind me on the last lap and racing me as hard as they possibly can, and trying to work me over. And you know, I believe that these guys certainly are, you know, purist racers who really appreciate the craft of passing. It doesn't take any skill to run into things. I mean, you can get in a car and run into me if you so care to choose and win a race. It doesn't take any skill really to do that. The skill of it is, you know, taking someone's line away. You see where their weaknesses are, then you adapt your style to work them over and then get position on them to then now you can take their line away. So there's just a lot that goes into it, and a lot of it is seeing what your competition is doing and changing your craft to get around them.
What's the
situation? Especially when you have equal cars.
What's a situation like that where you felt like you did it in the right way and you did just as you said that something that stands out to you? Obviously,
yeah.
You know, I think back to the 2017, obviously, with Chase, and you talked about, you know.
No shit, you think back to that?
You didn't do that one right, but tell me about what that you did right that worked really well for you.
I mean, there's been a lot of times. Yeah. You know, I think there's just been a lot of short tracks where I've just really spent – a lot of time working someone over to try to get a race win. I think back to like me and Kurt Busch actually in Xfinity at Richmond. Like I worked him over. I caught him from a long way back, and then like I just kind of refused to like shove him up the racetrack, which I think would probably be acceptable today. But there's just a lot of those instances where you just really work someone over, and you just have a lot of pride in doing that. I can't name specific instances, but certainly there's been a lot of, you know, last few lap moves that I've made that you know I've been proud of, and certainly other ones I haven't. And I think what you know people take for granted sometimes is that you know while you know like the incident with me and Chase in 2017, while it looked awful, it didn't take much. I was trying to put a bumper into him and get him up the racetrack, and he flat out spun out, and the bump is too hard, and it was just it was two guys that were obviously trying to put their way in the final four. We weren't in a great, if I remember right, we weren't in a great points position. We were kind of getting to that kind of panic mode from my standpoint of like, oh man, we gotta get through here. We can't give up control of the race, and I made a mistake, and so it happened, and it's just been irreversible from the world standpoint. And you know they've just, again, eventually time it will just go away, but like it's been 4 years, guys, it's time to go move on.
Is the skill how you hit or where you hit, if there has to be, like there may be a situation like you may try to work somebody over or they may try to work you over, but at some point you're going to run out of laps, so mm-hmm. somebody has to do something. So when you look at it, what is that? Is it how, like you said, I can hit you, but I don't have that skill. So the skill in hitting you.
Well, you're saying you have to do something. Why do you have to do something? Sometimes you're just not good enough, or your car's not good enough to pass. And if you're not, then you have to finish second that day. That's okay, right? I mean, my anger and frustration is that nearly, if I hit the wall hard enough, I don't finish, I'm out. My whole season is done because of someone else's choices or lack of respect for, you know, my position during that time. That's what drives me absolutely crazy, is that some people think that their win is more important than yours. That win is no more significant to them as it is to me. You know, that's what I don't get, is that I got to do something. Why? Like, does your career rely on it? Like, I don't get it. Why do you have to do something?
Well, if your career did lie on it,
yeah.
Then maybe.
Well, who says? Who says your career relies on it?
Whereas if your playoff spot relies on it, like making the championship.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's an argument to be had. You got to make the playoffs, right? The season was over for the 48. Like, at that point, they just didn't respect my position. They thought that their win meant more than the spot meant to me, which it did not, because it definitely could have taken us out.
Well,
and that's what pissed me off.
So his apology didn't make a difference?
Huh?
His apology,
I do not think it was on purpose. I do not. No, there was no, at no point do I feel like he said, I'm going to go in there and wreck him. I think he went in there and says, I'm going to run into him, and whatever the result is, the result is.
I mean,
and so that, to me, is just a lack of respect of like thinking that spot means more to you than it means to me.
So are you mad at him?
I am, because it's just a lack of situation awareness. And if the roles were reversed, there's no question that team would be as pissed off as I was, that their season was nearly taken away because of someone's irresponsibility. And I don't care what people they think. I'm telling you what I think because it's my team, my year. All that's on the line. So that's what I'm pissed off about is that, you know, I made the Final Four great. Well, I nearly didn't. You know what I mean? Because I just – that's what I don't understand, whether it be the Chase thing or whatever. It's – you know, Briscoe thing. It was like, wait a minute. You fucking crashed me. Like, yeah, that – well, I thought you knew what I was racing for. Well, am I not racing for the same damn thing? I'm racing for a regular season championship, which I got fucking taken out of. Like – I just don't get it where people think that their win is more important than yours.
So, but what about the world's reverse? What would you have done if you weren't in the Final Four? What would you have done?
Race them as hard as I could race them. I mean, I would try to work them over on the bottom. That's what I would try to do.
But is that win important to you?
It is important to me, but I understand the risk. And I go back to I'm more of a purist that it's not necessarily right or wrong. I'm more of a purist in believing that, you know, if you've earned your spot there, it's up for them to take it from you in a respectful way. That's your spot. It was my spot. I was in the lead. We weren't side by side. It was my spot. So it's up to you to take it from me, and you can take it from me however you see fit. If you see it fit one way and I see it fit the other, I'm probably going to be upset with that. So I've flipped the roles. I've done the math in my head. I understand what people think when it comes to, like, well, if the roles were reversed. They've been reversed. But flat out, I've been taken out twice while leading inside 5 laps to go, and both have been very, very significant. So I'm going to feel a certain way about that.
When you see, like, Alex kind of do something with the hack and the T-shirts and everything else and having fun on social media, what are your reaction to that?
I mean, I don't have a reaction to it. It's, you know, they're gonna thrive off of any kind of, you know, bump or hit that they can get during that time. And, you know, certainly, I think, you know, drivers in general in our series lack originality. So, I'm glad I could help with that.
Do you feel like this anger is kind of fueling you into this weekend and actually pushing you a little bit harder toward this championship?
Yes.
There and say, I'll be damned, I'm gonna do whatever I have to do to get to the front and hold the lead.
Hmm?
You go up there with the care be damned and do whatever you gotta do to get to the front and hold the lead and make them do something, make a decision to get around you? I mean, how do you race this weekend knowing that
the same. I race the same as I've always raced. I race the same as if I had to replace my own fender and own control arm when I crashed in late models. I race the same way. I made mistakes then. I still make mistakes today. But certainly I know in my mind when, you know, that I'm trying the best that I can to do it the right way. I came into this deal the right way and I'm going to go out the right way. I'm not going to change my style, for anyone, whether they like it or not. You know, it's not always going to be the most popular, you know, my breed, like Harvick's breed, is a dying breed. We understand that. But we're not going to change just because other people want us to.
Danny, all of this has kind of left you as the driver in the black hat. Are you comfortable in that role?
I mean, sure. I mean, I don't care. I don't mind. Again, before you guys got here, I just talked about it. It's just fuel for me. It, you know, my tank is absolutely full with motivation.
Danny, did he reach out to you this week? Did
no. Distractions are even better. I like those even more.
Why is that?
Will you talk to him before Sunday? Just
no. I mean, I'm not reaching out to him. I mean, again, it just shows, again, a lack of respect, right? I mean, I think they think that, well, I said sorry on TV, so that's good enough. Like, it's just guys aren't men anymore.
He should have reached out to you.
Sure, he should have.
What is the Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick breed in your mind?
Tony Stewart.
Mm-hmm. Chaos.
No doubt.
So what is that, though? What does that mean? Like, when you say that, though, what does that represent?
I think some people, you know, they have chaos and they start, you know, they get crosswired. They're you know, they get nervous. They want to shy away from chaos or any kind of crazy shit going on. For me, I I love it, and I live in chaos. I keep myself, I mean, again, what was the conversations earlier this year, right? Oh my gosh, starting a team, you're going to be so distracted. I haven't heard that at all this year, because our performance has showed otherwise, because I find a way to compartmentalize each part of my life and able to turn on the switch to this one at this time, that one at that time, and it'll be no different when I strap in and put the helmet on Sunday. It's going to be, now it's going time to go win.
So it's a mental toughness.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't get too excited. I mean, it's whether you're talking about, you know, the analytics from the heart rate in the car, right? Like, I really work on my craft to make sure I keep myself very level. I do not get too excited. I do not get too high. Do not get too low. That doesn't mean I don't get emotional, you know, about some things. But certainly in the car, I know that I do my job at best when I'm flatlined. And so I think that I'm able to turn things on and off as needed.
As you've gone through these playoffs, has your ownership perspective played any kind of role? Have you learned anything about yourself in that role as you've gone on through these playoffs as a driver and a competitor?
You know, nothing that really has changed how I am as a driver. That hasn't changed. It's just how I manage time is different. Certainly, I there's less time for hobbies and things like that. It's just me. I'm a workaholic. I really am. I cannot. The whole reason I started this damn race team is because I got bored during COVID. And so I realized I can't play golf every day. Like, I need to come up with something that, you know, I can do. And so I started a race team. And so I think that I like working. I really like working. And whether it's working on a race team, working on building it, or it's working on my craft as a race car driver and how I can get better, I do not stop.
Pretty expensive hobby to get into.
Yeah. No, I know. No doubt. That's for sure.
More expensive than golf.
It is, but, you know, everyone will have a legacy in the sport in some sort, and, you know, I don't even know why I care, but, you know, I want to give back to the sport. I mean, beyond my driving days, I want to, you know, continue to stay in this sport in some capacity, and I always knew that I wanted to go back and run a business. I didn't know whether I thought I was just going to open another trailer shop that me and my dad had back in the day, and just manage that. I talked to Toyota about buying some car dealerships, running that. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I just thought that the race team was the thing that I was most knowledgeable about, because I knew a little bit about each part of our sport. Now, again, I've gotten an education this year, unlike another, and I'm still learning quite a bit, but I enjoyed that process of building something.
Is tomorrow must win? The last seven champions have won this race. Mm-hmm. How much of it is a must win?
Yeah, you'll have to win. There's no question. There's no secret that, you know, that these cars will be up front, probably 1, 2, 3, 4 at some point.
Can you focus on long run speed, or do you have to mentally prepare for a late race restart where it's just going to be chaos?
It's a balance. I'm not really sure. Last year was long run. I don't know. I don't know what the balance of it is. You better be good at all of them.
Can you focus on that in practice, or is that not enough?
We will. We'll pay attention to it. We certainly will. We'll pay attention to the first 5 laps, and then we'll pay attention to what happens after 20. But again, you're not going to just spray some magic fairy dust and like make your car magically better during practice on one of those or the other. Now, you can hedge a little bit when you leave the shop to, okay, the main parts of the setup are geared towards shorter runs or longer runs, but you pretty much got what you got when you get here.
What about Chase Elliott fans makes them not think straight?
Well, I just think that they bleed, you know, pretty much whatever he does, and you know, if they're just like anybody else who's a Green Bay Packers fan or a Washington fan, like, you know, they know what they see is not necessarily correct, but they bleed it true and true, and it just doesn't matter. They're going to support whether that person does the right thing or the wrong thing. So I just think that's some of it, is that, you know, they don't think, you know, well, wait a minute now, that
he's their hero.
Yeah, for sure. And that, has the roles been reversed at any point, right? And what was your opinion then? Was it, well, you know, he didn't really take out Joey at Bristol. It was just an accident, racing deal. Well, flip it, and, like, you know, it's different. And Jeff actually did a very good job of calling them out on that, saying, come on, guys, you got to realize it's a little bit hypocritical.
Like the junior fans.
Yeah, but listen, I don't mind it because of passion, right? Like, that place was fucking on fire after the race. Like, that's great for our sport. That's why, like, and from my standpoint, like, all I'm doing is getting fuel the whole time. And so it's like, this is a fucking good thing. Like,
so I was gonna say, when you hear
thinking like a team owner.
When you get out of the car and you're met with a bunch of boos and you keep hearing the boos, what are you thinking? What are you processing?
In your own state.
Yeah.
Your
own state in front of your family, your hometown track or however you want to classify.
Yeah, sort of, but I don't know. I mean,
are you
just I'm not chuckling because I'm honestly, I was so heated, you know, that I was seeing red at the time. But, you know, looking back on it, it's like, you know, man, those are the moments that hopefully our sport can get new highlights from, right? I mean, how many times can we possibly watch a Dale Earnhardt win at Talladega? You know, like, gosh, we need new highlights, right? It's just, their sport is really good now. Our racing is really good now. Like, I really wish we could really start to focus on the stars of today and this young group coming up. And, you know, we're starting to slowly but surely build, you know, whether it be rivalries or, you know, great racing or great finishes. Like, we're starting to get our bank of that now where we're not having to rely so much on things that happened 20 years ago.
Did you buy a shirt from Bowman? This hat?
Huh?
Did you buy one of that Bowman?
I did not.
T-shirts?
No. Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, again, I said earlier that a lot of drivers lack originality. So, you know, anytime that I can help them with that, then I'm sure they appreciate it.
At what point do you let what happened with Briscoe and Alex go? And just like, I mean, you never forget about it, but at what point can you just like stop being mad about it?
When I go race the next week, I mean.
So Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I just go race. I mean, you know, certainly right after, I mean, the chase thing, I think we won 2 weeks later or something. Like we go race, and I'm a professional. When I get in the car, like, all I care about is winning. And so I talked about it earlier. I never let anyone move my blood pressure high or low based off of my animosity or like towards them on the racetrack. My friendship with Kyle off the racetrack – I do not drive him any different than I do someone that I have strong feelings or dislikes with. Because I know that if I'm going to beat him, I've got to be the best version of myself on the racetrack. And that's the only way to beat him. So I can't let them alter what I do.
Hey, you said you learned a lot this year being an owner. What's the biggest thing you've
How hard it is. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's just how hard it is to sustain. You know, when we put a dramatic investment, and I've put a dramatic investment to help grow the sport, I wonder, am I just giving it away, or am I going to be able to get that back? You know what I mean? You know, I'm all for helping grow the sport and you know, bringing in Michael and his team into this. It's, you know. My thing is that, you know, I also spent a lot of time acquiring, you know, what I have. I'm certainly not going to lose it all, you know, trying to give back to the sport. But I feel more positive, I will say, than I did probably 6 months ago that, you know, it's all for the greater good.
Has it become because of Bubba 1?
No, not really. That hadn't really changed it as much as just, you know, kind of seeing the things that we're working on, seeing the growing of the team, seeing, you know, where hopefully we're headed with the next gen, and, you know, maybe it works, you know, maybe it works out. I'm crossing my fingers.
Do you think there's any advantage over Kyle and Martin, in fact, you've raced at Phoenix Raceway with the championship pressure under you before?
Not really. I mean, Chase didn't have any experience in that situation last year, and he they showed up with a car that was just dramatically faster than everyone else's, and he just motored through the field like he was in a cup car versus in an Xfinity race. It was just not close. So I just don't think experience or anything really, that's one of the most overrated things that people take into account. Maybe not on the mental side, but you know, again, to me, it's more about how fast is your car and is it capable.
There's a lot of talk out there about who the favorite is. There is a lot of talk about you're one of the favorites going into that. Does that add more pressure or not?
No, it doesn't. I don't. You know, I mean, we won two races, as Mr. Hendrick has pointed out. So I think that we've won less than anyone here. We should, probably should run fourth.
Well, with it being kind of the battle of the two
you really
biggest
mean that,
teams.
Though? I mean, you look at the 750 notes. And
you know, I know better than that.
Yeah. It looks like it's the battle of the two biggest teams. Has there been any conversation about whether there's any, team splitting team strategies to try and get one of the winners?
No, I mean, not that I'm aware of.
Would you entertain any conversation like that?
I hope my teammates screw them over as much as they possibly can. But, I just don't think we've seen that in the past.
Will Michael be here this weekend to support you?
Probably.
There has been a lot of talk in years past about, you know, why X year was your best chance to win the championship. Why is 2021 mm-hmm. your best year, best chance at it?
Performance, knowledge, just I just feel like 2019 was the other year where I'm like, we're fast enough, we're good enough, we're prepared, we're ready, this is it, we're good. And we had a shot, and then we, you know, made a bad strategic call with a piece of tape. 2020 was just very different because we weren't as fast. The shorter tracks, we were not, you know, my team was trying to convince me for weeks and weeks and weeks, we're not as bad on the short tracks as you think. I knew better. I drove the cars all year. The roles were reversed a little bit this time, where I'm like, you know, I understand we've been in contention to win most of these short tracks, so I'm confident from that standpoint. The only thing that, you know, again, I'm not confident in is the things that I cannot control. That's the only thing that worries me, is the things that I can't control. But how can you possibly let those things worry you, because you cannot control them? So I was very content in 2019 and 20, like leaving the racetrack saying, I did my job to the best of my ability. I drove the car as fast as I possibly could. I would not change a thing. And we didn't win for various reasons. But I just hope that I do my job again. If I do my job, don't make any mistakes, I will have a chance.
Now, or do you feel like there's more to prove, maybe just how you perform this year, or just something changed inside you?
Certainly this year I've just been more comfortable in general with, you know, who I am and the accomplishments that we've had, and I've had. I've accomplished way more than I ever would have imagined, for sure. So I'm content. I'm content and I'm at peace with, like, myself and my career. And I could quit on Monday, maybe I will, maybe I won't, and be happy with everything that I've done. So I just feel like I'm at peace with whatever the result is.
Would you really do a mic drop?
Thank you.
Hmm?
Would you really do a mic drop if you wanted to just walk?
Maybe.
Have you thought about it? Billy Scott?
Billy Scott for Kurt next year's crew chief?
I'm not sure legally whether I can answer that question.
Okay.
Thank you. If that makes any sense, Bob.
Thank you, Daddy. You know I know about legal stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. All right, y'all done? Thanks.
Thanks.